It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe in your heart of hearts that Christians, true followers of Jesus, are actually supposed to change the world? Do you actually believe that we are supposed to have some type of effect on culture, not just leading people to Jesus so that they're saved, but actually bringing about social change, moral, cultural reform? Do you think that's something that believers are actually called to do? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I'm going to take this question a whole lot deeper and throw it to you from a number of different angles, but thanks for being with us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. Let me ask you another question. If there was one sin for which God would judge America today, if there was one sin that would bring the wrath of God on our country, one sin for which he would bring judgment now, judgment in this generation, if there's any one sin, what sin do you think that would be? If there's any one sin, what sin do you think that would be? I mean, there are so many things going on every single day in our streets, in our homes, in our government, in our churches. But if there's one sin in particular that pushed us over the limit, because of which God would say, that's it, enough is enough, I have to bring judgment. Remember, he did that with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. He gave them opportunity to repent, an opportunity to repent, an opportunity to repent. And when they didn't, he finally brought judgment, severe judgment at different times. If there was one sin in particular that would push us over, because of which God would say, I have to bring judgment, I want to be merciful, I want to forgive, I hear the prayers, the cries of my people, but it has gone too far because of this particular sin. If there was one, what sin would it be? Now, I'm going to tie these two questions together, but every year at Fire School of Ministry, I teach a class called Revolution in Society. I teach a class to the first year about Jesus' revolution, that Jesus did not come into the world to establish a lovely home and garden religion called Christianity, with our lovely Sunday morning traditions and hymns and rituals, and that's it. No, he came to launch a world-changing movement. It was spiritual because it was spiritual. It was moral because it was moral. It was cultural because it was cultural. It's ultimately a clash between kingdoms. We talk about those things. We talk about what the world does with violence and hatred and intimidation and anger, and what Jesus does through the cross, through love, through sacrifice. And we lay out the principles of revolution given by Jesus. As one socialist said in the 1920s, we socialists would have nothing to do if you Christians had continued the revolution begun by Jesus. Again, we use that word in terms of the non-violent principles laid out by Jesus, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming intimidation and force with sacrifice, with the power of the Spirit. That's the revolution we're talking about. And then I do a second-year class talking about revolution in society. In other words, does the Jesus revolution, this is second or second and third year together, does the Jesus revolution actually impact society? I mean, look at the book of Acts. You don't see them, say, standing up against abortion, which was taking place in the society then. And you don't see the believers in the book of Acts rescuing babies that were exposed. You know, if you had a baby you didn't want, say a girl, you didn't want to have a girl baby, you had a deformed male baby, you just expose them, just leave them in designated places and let them die. And it was illegal to intervene, to stop that, to try to take the baby. You don't read in the book of Acts where they're standing against that. I'm sure there was all types of societal injustice. You don't read them specifically standing against that in the book of Acts. You certainly don't see protest marches or things like that, or try to overthrow godless rule in Rome and or abolish slavery. And yet, Christians have been involved in these things, have been involved in abolishing slavery, have been involved in standing up for, for the unborn, etc. So are we really called to make a difference? Is it a distraction? Is it something that gets us off our focus? Is it something that takes us away from our real calling, which is to evangelize? Now, let me make clear that our first and foremost calling is obviously to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment, calling is like that, to love our neighbor as ourself. And as we do that, that's going to result in social action of some kind, wouldn't you say? If loving your neighbor as yourself means that your neighbor is suffering injustice, that your neighbor is being persecuted, that your neighbor is being rights withheld, etc., then loving your neighbor as yourself would mean that you would take some kind of action. I would think that would be an immediate response. But beyond that, I want you to consider something. If we truly win people to Jesus, not just get them to pray a prayer, pray this prayer and you'll go to heaven and that's it. No, the Great Commission is not getting people to pray a prayer, but disciples going to make disciples. Isn't that true? Jesus calls his disciples, Matthew 28:16, tells them in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth is given to him, then says, go and make disciples. Right? That's the Great Commission, to teach people to obey everything that Jesus taught us. If you make disciples of someone who is make a disciple of someone who is a pimp or a prostitute, someone who is a drug lord, someone who is a slave trader, human trafficking, someone who is a corrupt politician, someone who is an influential atheist in a college campus, someone who is putting out all types of godless propaganda through the media, an alcoholic husband, an alcoholic wife, you just go down the list. If these people truly become disciples, how can that not affect society? How can that not have an impact on a nation? Just the Great Commission, you would think, okay, if many people are truly coming to faith and turning away from sin and turning to righteousness, which is what it means to be a believer, we are being born from above, we are leaving the old order and entering into God's new order, living now for a different master and Lord, saying no to the flesh and yes to Jesus, how is that not going to change society? If you've got gay activists, school superintendents that get saved, if you get religious hypocrites that get saved and these people really become disciples, if you get someone that's been in church all their life and hasn't known the Lord and this is a CEO of a major company and they truly come to the Lord, how is that not going to affect decisions they make? How is that not going to affect where finances go? How is that not going to affect the realm of society that they touch? I mean, common sense would say that where the gospel really moves and where we really love our neighbor as ourselves, that there will be changes in society. I heard someone say this years ago. It's so simple but so true. Jesus transforms people. People transform society. So to me, it's self-evident that if we lived in the days of slavery, we would be called to do something about slavery. If we lived in the days of the Holocaust, we would be called to do something about the Holocaust. If we live in the days of abortion, we'd be called to do something about abortion, and we are. So I know that we can often get politically oriented and to the point of that becomes our focus. And I believe, and I've emphasized this on the show before and during election times, I'll emphasize it again, we make a mistake when we emphasize patriotism over the kingdom. To pray God bless America is something different than to pray Lord, your kingdom come to America. To pray God bless America presupposes in our thinking, make us bigger, make us better, make us stronger. And I want God to bless America, not curse America, obviously. But praying Lord, your kingdom come to America, oh, that could mean massive upheaval and shaking, could it not? So I'm answering the first question I asked, are we really called to change the world? Well, if we follow Jesus and live in obedience to him and live by his principles, we will have a transforming effect on those around us. Ultimately, as disciples are made and the kingdom advances, it will change things in this world. It may use political means, educational means, other things, but ultimately it's the kingdom of God advancing. That being said, and here's what I want to press in on for a moment. If there is any one sin, what do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. If there is any one sin for which God would judge America, any one sin where he had said, this is it, too much, I must bring judgment, what do you think that sin would be? What do you think is the number one sin in America that would provoke God to bring judgment? I want to probe this a little, and then I want to challenge your thinking further. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. If you ever want to respond to something I'm talking about on the air and you're unable to call in, but you can shoot a note, the emails are read during the show, so if it's something relevant, we might just talk about it. All right, question I've been asking. I do believe that as Christians, we are called to make an impact on the society in which we live. Okay, that's not my question. That's obviously a statement. I believe that as a prophetic voice, as salt and light, as those who make disciples, as those who preach repentance, as those who do good deeds, as those who live holy lives, as those who pray and seek God, as those who obey his leading and stand for righteousness, etc., etc., we should bring about a positive effect on our society. And if you pulled us out, there should be a massive difference. Now look, we may be holding back evil and destruction and not seeing all the good that we want to see, but either way, we should be making a difference. So my question, if there was one sin, and this obviously ties in with the question I'm asking in terms of should we impact the culture, should we bring about change, there's one sin for which God would bring judgment on America, any one sin that would be this is it, This tips the scale. Judgment must come based on what we can see from Scripture and God's past dealings. What sin would that be? During the break, a caller suggested, well, there's no one sin. And 2 Corinthians talks about ministry of reconciliation, etc. And that's what we do. We call the world to be reconciled to God. But there's no one sin in particular. What do you think? I've surveyed folks about this over the years, surveyed students in our school of ministry, and generally the answer tends to be the same. If you talk to enough people, now we may get very different responses from the callers here, but if you talk to enough people, I'm hearing more and more and more the same answer, and I have for years, and I believe it's the right answer. But I want you to answer my question first, because then I want to talk about if this is true, why do we see things the way that we do? Why are we not acting more if these things are true? Joey, just answering calls here. We'll get as many calls as we can, and you don't need to let me know in advance what they are thinking, so this way I get to as many as possible. I hope you all welcome. Joey is going to be our new producer here, taking over for Josh. I insisted, I have so many things to think about. I said it has to be the same sounding name. So from Josh to Joey, I said that's the only thing I'd accept. So, no, okay. And Jimmy calling in there, thanks for staying in the spirit of the Jays there. Anyone sin because of which God would bring judgment on America, say, that's it, enough is enough. What would that be? R.L. in Elkin, thanks for calling today.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up Leviticus 20. I think it's 1 through 6, where it's talking about the people of Israel and the, strangers in Israel, too. Anyhow, they're sacrificing their babies to Molech, and God said he would turn his eyes against them, and if anybody didn't punish him, innocent people didn't punish him, he would also turn his face away from them and punish them also. Leviticus 20.
All right, so based on that, the shedding of innocent blood in particular, sacrificing children to Molech, so would you apply that specifically to abortion today?
I would, or any thing to gain wealth, because, you know, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Okay, I'm in a low signal area. I'm going to pull over. I think it would kind of resemble abortion now, but other things too. I think it's just talking about sin in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's Christian people's duty to correct people when they're wrong and to confirm with it.
Got it.
But the biggest, I think the most important thing for us to do is teach people about Christ. And like you were saying, if we could teach people about Christ, then there wouldn't be as much sin, and it would be a more of a Christian world. And I think we filled our nation considerably by world.
Yeah, in a whole bunch of ways, R.L., we failed. We've preached a cheap gospel. We've demeaned who Jesus is in the eyes of the people. We've preached it's all about me kind of message. So we're hardly introducing them to the real Jesus or making real disciples. Hey, thank you for the call, for the observations. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Jimmy in Gastonia, thanks for calling. Hello, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're on.
Okay. I think it's the oppression of the innocent. I think it's the oppression of the innocent and the poor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my Bible with me. I'm actually doing some work right now. But it's a good question that you asked about what sin would God judge America for. If there was one particular sin, I believe it would be the oppression of the innocent and the poor. And then another thing I thought about is when you go back to the nation of Israel,
mm-hmm.
when they were down in Egypt, we know they had been down there for right at 400 years. And so therefore, we know that God is already looking at that very, very tolerant of sin, even mm-hmm. though we know that one day he will judge sin. And but as I look at that, he dealt with Egypt because they had messed with God's people, which was the Jewish people, and over 400 years of slavery and bondage. Now, we know when they first got down there, it wasn't, you know, they were in slavery, but they wasn't, from the way the scriptures read, like they wasn't really brutalized or treated badly.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even, and Jimmy, it wasn't even slavery at the beginning.
Right.
When the family of Israel came, it degraded into that and terrible bondage. And you are right. God waited patiently. And, you know, one other reason he waited patiently, Jimmy, is that it says that, of course, he was going to give the people of Israel the land of Canaan, and he said that the sin of the Amorites hadn't reached its full measure yet.
Right.
But, you know, we're up against a break, but I want to reaffirm when you say oppression of the poor and innocent is something that God takes real exception to, you are absolutely right, and there's a whole lot of that taking place in our society today. Hey,
I think if there was any one thing, I think that would be it. And that covers a lot of different territory because there are a lot of oppressed poor, whether to be minorities or even Christians, which that would include the whites as well. So that covers a lot of territory and includes innocent babies that are aborted.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah, it's a broad thing, and it does include the innocent in the womb and all kinds of other oppression and injustice. Hey, thank you for calling. God bless you, man. Okay, no time to... just going to read something to you quick. I'll do that the other side of the break. I'm going to take maybe a couple more calls on this, give you my own opinion, and then tell you why I'm raising this in particular today. All right, stay with us. We will be back. So how does God feel right now about what's happening in America? And if there's one sin in particular that would bring judgment, that would bring the wrath of God on our nation, what sin would that be? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. I've just got one email saying, well, it would be the oppression of the poor and the widow. That tied in with what our previous caller had said, oppression of the poor and the innocent. I certainly see that as very, very high on God's list in terms of judgment, in terms of him saying enough is enough. And again, when he brings judgment, he brings it for good purposes. He brings it in his justice and goodness, not just because he's having a temper tantrum and has to let it out on somebody. Somebody's going to get hurt because God is mad. He lost his temper. No, God doesn't lose his temper. Everything he does is measured and perfectly righteous. And there is a time when he says, this is it, enough is enough. I would say, just so I can move on a little further in the conversation, that yes, the oppression of the poor, the beating down of people, the innocent, suffering, this all is a large category that's of great importance to God, and we see God bringing judgment because of this. In fact, if you look in Israel's history, you'll see that the persistent sins that keep cropping up, you can remember them all with eyes. Idolatry, and that's really at the root of everything, because idolatry is then going to lead to these other sins. Idolatry, immorality, and injustice. And of course, there are sins of sexual immorality. Sometimes that was just a picture God used to talk about them following other gods, committing adultery with other gods, goddesses, rather than following the one true God. That being said, idolatry, immorality, injustice. That being said, what seems to bring things to a real head is the shedding of innocent blood, as many pro-life people have argued. The shedding of innocent blood is the thing that goes one step too far. And we see that in the days of Manasseh, who ruled over Judah for 55 years, that Manasseh committed so much sin in the land that it says that the blood was flowing up to the horses' bridles. Obviously a figure of speech to talk about just horrific bloodshed everywhere. And because of that, God said, I will not forgive. And in particular, the utter horror, the horror of all horrors, was sacrificing children to Molech. You can read about this in Jeremiah, the 19th chapter in particular. The horror of all horrors, where God said, that's it. You're burning your babies to this false god. That's it. So to me, the ultimate devaluing of life takes place in 100 different ways in our society. Yes, the devaluing the life of someone outside of the womb, and injustice that happens to different people in the society, and trafficking of children, sex crime, I mean, horrific, mind-boggling things like that. But the ultimate defenseless baby in the womb slaughtered by the millions, quote, legally, in America since 1973, that to me has to be number one at the top of the list. And when I've surveyed people through the years, that would generally come up as number one. I've often then asked some of these same people that I surveyed, well, how much do you pray about this? And the answer would normally be very little. Now, there's been a great prayer movement that has moved forward in recent years, birthed in particular by my dear friend Lou Engel. Others, of course, praying, laboring for years in the pro-life movement and carrying this and going to jail and standing for righteousness, etc. But where I want to take this is, I've asked people, if it is such a serious sin and issue, how much do you actually pray about it? And generally very little. How much do you actually think about it? Generally very little, especially younger generation that's, you know, serious about the Lord, those that are committed Christians, on fire and all this. It's like, it's that important, and yet it has almost no impact on how you live and what you do. Why? And I want to share why in a moment. Let me just take one more call. Alex in Charlotte, looks like we're thinking along the same lines here. Tell me why you feel that abortion is number one.
Well, I mean, I think abortion is really important. I used to be pro-choice, but like I kind of realize that, you know, all babies have the potential to be great. You know, you don't know if you have a new David or a new, you know, Samson, you know, type of a child that could come out of even the worst situation. But the other thing is that we focus so hard on trying to change the laws but like, you know, the people of Planned Parenthood, they focus on, you know, they want their law to be the way they are, but they're also trying to focus on changing people so that they agree with what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we could kind of like outdo them in that purpose in like counseling, I'm trying to just give people the point of view and not worry about, you know, trying to change the law as much as just, you know, change the minds of the people, where, you know, we could save some of those babies. Because, you know, instead of, you know, coming at them with more of a love perspective than, you know, because like sometimes as Christians we get so, it becomes such a personal endeavor for us that we get angry when we think of it, because, you know, it is terrible to, you know, destroy a child, but at the same time, you know, that person is making a hard decision, and if we can help them, you know, push to the right direction instead of, you know, and realize that, you know, maybe we can aid them and, you know, if they decide to keep the baby, you know, I would rather pay money to help someone, you know, have a child that, you know, made a mistake and couldn't afford one than for her to, you know, choose against it, you know.
Right.
I don't know if I'm coming across like...
You know, no, I'm with you, Alex. And look, you hit on, of course, the larger issue, which is changing people's
heart,
thinking.
You know?
Right, changing people's thinking, just getting them to understand that it's not a clump of cells that's inside of you, that is a human life that's inside of you. And Alex, thanks for the call. I'm going to take this thought a little bit further. So in my class at Fire School of Ministry this week, Revolution in Society, talking about the Jesus Revolution, the nonviolent, loving principles of Jesus put into action are revolutionary, and they should affect society. We had a presentation from from Dr. Fletcher Armstrong, from, not a medical doctor, actually PhD in engineering, but he's given himself to stand up for the unborn, Center for Bioethical Reform, and they are very big on going on college campuses, different places in public, and showing the results of abortion, showing the babies that have just been bloodied and torn up in the womb, showing these pictures, having people see it, interacting, saying, hey, look, this is a human being. Just like the black man in America was a human being. Just like the slave was a human being. And they were so dehumanized by society. Just like the Jew in Nazi Germany was a human being and became totally dehumanized. That's what we've done with the baby in the womb. And that got us discussing things in our class in terms of why this is such an incredibly important issue in our day. And yet, in terms of our actual doing something, in terms of actually taking a stand, and he was talking to people in the room that some of them every week are involved, either working at Crisis Pregnancy Center or standing in front of abortion mills, sharing the gospel and encouraging people to do the right thing. Yet the question is, why does this really take up so little of our thinking, aside from, well, I only vote for pro-life candidates? So I'm gonna give you some insight on that when we come back. I got some interesting emails to read as well. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. Email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. By the way, March 4th and 5th, Thursday night, March 4th, Friday day, March 5th, an amazing opportunity to find out about Fire School of Ministry. We are not so much looking for more students. We are looking for people who are called to go out and make an impact on this world, be it on the mission field, be it here in America. If you are called to be a world changer, you recognize the urgency of the hour. We are equipped to help, train, equip, and send you out. And there's fruit being born through fire around the world, even at this moment as I speak. So March 4th and 5th, Thursday night, Friday day, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Fire School of Ministry for more info. Okay, if abortion is, we would all agree, one of the most serious issues in America today, if not the most serious issue as far as sin to be judged, and I believe it is the number one thing for which God could judge America. Why does it occupy so little of our actual thought, or as a speaker at our school said today, if people would just spend as much money standing against abortion as they gave to their cable TV every month, we turn the nation, we would have turned the nation by now. So, what stands in the way? Let me ask you this: if you would say, well, sexual immorality is such a major issue here in America, yeah, I agree. Well, we deal with it all the time. It's everywhere. You put on TV, it's there. You go online, it's there. You're on a news site, you're looking for news, and it's there. You see it all around you. You have to deal with it in your own life. Keep your eyes pure, your attitudes right, etc. So it's ever before us in that sense. There are other things in the culture that are ever before us that we're confronted with all the time. But for the most part, abortion is out of sight, out of mind. In other words, we know it's there. We know it happens. We know it's wrong. But for the most part, it is out of sight and out of mind. Where are the abortion clinics, as they're called, abortion mills, where you live? Most of us don't even know. Who are the people that we hang out with, or church people, church friends, who've had an abortion recently? If they did, we tend not to even know about it. In most cases, we think it's not happening. When I confront it with it, when we put on TV, when I confront it with it, when we get online, when I confront it with it all around us, and think of this, everyone born after 1973, this has been the way it is. So it's always been like this. The wrong information gets out through the media, the so-called pro-choice, which really wants to take away choice and just say this is what you do, you abort your baby. Talk about the fetus and this in a way that just makes the baby an it, and it's not even viable, and as if it's all a result of rape and incest, or the life of the mother's in danger, which is the tiniest percentage of why people actually have abortions. Out of sight, out of mind. And you've grown up here in America since 1973. This has been the law of the land. This has been the way it is. And it's just like growing up around slavery. You weren't there when the people were being taken out of Africa and put in horrific conditions in ships and dying on the ships and being abused and then coming here and being sold like cattle. And you just knew them kind of, well, they work on the farm there. And you're Christian, so you treat them nice. There's a deadness to it. There's a dullness to it. There's a blindness to it. And we really need to ask God for his heart. We need to continue to ask him for ways to make a difference through prayer, through action, be it the action to help the mothers, be it the action to help the babies that are born that are saved from abortion, be it the action to help stop abortion, be it the action to work legally, be it the action to educate. This should be something on the minds of every believer. This should be something on the hearts of every believer. This should be something that we actively say, okay, God, if this is so serious to you, if this is so major to you, if shedding of innocent blood, the oppression of the innocent, the devaluing of life and the crime to the mother as well and to society as a whole, if this is so important to you, what can I do? And it begins with being burdened. It begins with becoming aware. There's a very graphic website, Abortion No. You say, it's too graphic. Well, just see what abortion is. Just take a look. See the reality of it. And be jarred and then say, okay, God, what can we do? Every church, every believer, on some level, should be doing something because it's important to the Lord. So I want to challenge you with that. And I'll read this note from a friend at Illinois Family Institute when we come back and see if I can take one more call. So stay with us. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire today, 866-34-TRUTH. Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org if you'd like to email me. There's a note I got today. We had a caller with an abortion-related question, but just lost him, so I'm going to move on for a moment. The Washington Times, there's an article saying this really is a good time for moderate Republicans, said Charles Moran, national spokesman for the Log Cabin Republicans, a gay Republican group. We need to take this opportunity right now to elect candidates like Mark Kirk, who are where they need to be on fiscal responsibility and national defense and aren't getting tripped up on social issues. Getting tripped up on social issues. Good time for moderate Republicans. Lori Higgins from the Illinois Family Institute that sent that quote out added her comment. Yes, we wouldn't want to get tripped up by those pesky little social issues like legalized slaughter of the unborn and the revolutionary attempt to sever marriage from childbearing and gender. In other words, so-called same-sex marriage. The legalized slaughter of the unborn. That's one of those social issues you don't want to get tripped up on. I heard one news commentator talking about, yeah, these wedge issues like abortion. We must not just say, well, I only vote for pro-life candidates, which is good and important and a right step in terms of an ethic. But we have to ask ourselves beyond that, what are we actually doing to address this horrific scourge in our day? What are we actually doing to make a difference as followers of Jesus in our generation? Look, if you heard that God was moving wonderfully in a particular country and that it had gone from 5% Christian to 40% Christian in a 30-year period, and you had been there 30 years ago, and it wasn't, I mean, the worst country in the world, it was pretty godless. You go back 30 years later, wow, I've heard God's been moving, and over this last generation now that's gone from 5% Christian to almost half the nation Christian, born again, following Jesus, wouldn't you be shocked? Wouldn't you be shocked to see that it was far more godless? Wouldn't you be shocked to see that, say, immorality was rampant, injustice was rampant, and all kinds of crime on the streets was rampant? You think, how could that be if so many more people have gotten saved and if these Christians are living as Christians? Where is the influence for God? We look around, and boy, the gospel seems to be everywhere, doesn't it? Gospel radio, gospel TV, gospel bestsellers, and Christian actors, actresses, you name the sport, we've got Christians in it, and I'm not saying these people aren't Christians. Christian politicians, we've got them everywhere. You would think America would look different, wouldn't you? You would think our country would be in a different state than it is. So we've got to look fundamentally. What's up with our, quote, Christianity? What's up with the message that we're preaching? What's up with the message that we're living? What's up with the influence that we're having on society? Look, if the truth be told, we'd have to admit that for this last generation now, the world has changed the church rather than the church changing the world. The revolutionary impact has not been positive. It has been negative. Darkness is more rampant now in most of our society, in the families, in personal morals, even in our church ethics, far more rampant now than it was a generation ago, despite some positive changes in society. Let there be an awakening. Let it start with you and me. And let's make a difference where it counts, where it can be seen for generations to come. Tomorrow, we'll be taking your questions on a wide range of subjects. Some of those emails I was going to read today, I'll share them with you tomorrow. Stay with us, friend. Press into the Lord. In Jesus, there is always hope.
The Truth Radio Network.